1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now we are going to continue our study on the life of David. And today's lesson is going to be on living by force or living by faith. Living by force or living by faith. Now the question we need to ask, each one of us need to ask ourselves, how are we going to live? Each one of us really has already made that choice. Perhaps we do not even realize we made the choice, but we have. We are either living by force or we're going to live by faith. And if we're not living by faith, that means we're living by what? Force. Now, where do we find faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we're not living by what God has told us in his word, we're living by force. Right. Now the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, "Then said David to the Philistines," talking about Goliath, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Now David didn't say, "You know what, I'm coming to you, and I'm coming to you with my sling, and I'm coming to you with my five stones, and I'm going to come to you with my shepherd's rod, and I'm going to take you out." He never mentioned anything other than he's coming, what? "In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Now David summarized that the battle was about to take place. Now, was it really just a battle between a shepherd boy and a giant? You know, how many times do we hear this analogy being used in sports today? Oh, it's a David facing a Goliath. And I'm always rooting for the underdog for the most part, unless it's my team that's the big dog. But anyways, you know what? I like to see those people overcome and get the victory. But was it a fight between David and Goliath? Was it a battle between the army of Israel and the army of the Philistines? Now, that may appear the way it was at first glance. It may appear that there was two champions about to face off. One was a Philistine champion, was huge, and the other was simply David. But David says this, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." You see, Goliath's coming by force. David's coming by what? Faith. Notice how carefully God states this for us. "Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me." That's the way the giant was coming. He says, "You're coming to me with a sword. You're coming to me with a spear. You're coming to me with a shield. But all I have really is I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Now we look at that and we may think, well, who's the more powerful being here? Was it Goliath? Was it David? It was the Lord. Who was going to win the battle? Who was putting faith in the Lord? David was. You know, it's always one way or the other. It's never both. We need to decide whether we're going to face our problems with a spear, with a shield, and with a sword, or are we going to face our problems in the name of the Lord? We're all going to live by force or by faith. How many here have ever had anybody oppose them? All right? And maybe when they opposed you, you know what? They were bigger, they were more powerful, they were more wealthy, they had more education perhaps than you did, right? And you felt maybe a bit intimidated. Now they came to you by force. How did you react? Did you buck up and say, "You know what? I'm not going to take it. I'm going to you force with force"? Or did you maybe go by faith? You say, "Well, how am I supposed to react? They're coming after me. They're my enemy." Well, how does Jesus say we're supposed to? We're supposed to operate by faith, and that means we should what? Pray for them. That means what? We should do them good. That means what? We should rejoice that we're worthy of finding some persecution because we're living for the Lord. Is that how we react? Or do we try to get our pound of flesh somehow? What are we supposed to do? Now, is that easy to turn the other cheek? No. You know, some of us are not very good at that, are we? Guilty. But I think I'm getting better at it over the years. But how do you react to that? We're supposed to react by faith, not me force with force. You know, sometimes I think people have the idea that, you know what, a preacher or a Christian is supposed to be some kind of doormat. You ever run across those people? And then when you stand up for what's right, then they get all bent out of shape and, you know, they call you all kinds of names. But you know what? We don't have to get physical with them. We just need to stand on the Word of God, do we not? Now, David summarized the battle was about to take place. Now, it goes without saying that the world's way is always a way of force. I can overpower you. I'm bigger. I'm stronger. I'm quicker. I can out-scheme you. I don't know. I've met some pretty good schemers in Christianity that don't walk by faith but scheme and scam their whole life. I can out-scream you. I can out-anger you. I can out-spend you. I can out-force you. You know, we got a battle in our government going on this last week, don't we? Two powerful men going at each other. One happens to be a president, one happens to be the richest guy in the world. They're using force and force. And it's a terrible situation, isn't it? Has that ever happened in a marriage? Man. Sometimes, now we don't like to call it fighting. We like to call it intense moments of fellowship because that sounds more spiritual. Right? But have you ever, as a married couple, known someone else, because it doesn't happen to you, but they go at loggerheads one with another? Huh? And man, they say all kinds of stuff they shouldn't say. And usually it's the wife that gets historical. You say, what do you mean? I thought it was hysterical. No, they get historical. They take everything you ever done wrong from the time you said I do until the fight is gone. It's crazy, isn't it? Why doesn't somebody act like a Christian? Why doesn't somebody live by faith? That's not how we're supposed to handle things, are we? How many would think it'd be a whole lot better instead of force going against force if someone just lived by faith, or if both parties did, it would turn out a whole lot better? That's the world's way. That is the only way those who do not know Christ as their Savior operates. You know, this happens in business, it happens in the home, it happens in personal relationships. It may manifest itself in many different forms, but it's always the same. And it's time we as God's people start living by faith instead of by force. It's like those people who like to threaten you. Right? That happens even in a marriage. That's crazy, isn't it? You know, one thing a word that we don't say in our home is divorce. It's not part of our vocabulary. And yet some people, they threaten their spouse with that. You know, you can threaten all you want. You'd say that to me, I'd say, hit the bricks. Be gone. You say, well, what? You're the one who brought it up. You're the one who's thinking about it. Go ahead. Stop the nonsense. Did we not say we do for better, for worse? Then why is that word ever brought up? Listen, the Lord's way is to trust in Him. Are we not supposed to do that? Isn't that the way of faith? Do you know that once you come to the place where you trust God, everything else is settled? The fact that Goliath was a soldier, a giant, an overstuffed Philistine champion, didn't have anything to do whether David would go down to the valley or not. It was all dependent on whether David would trust God or not. That's what made the decision. Once David placed his faith in God, everything else was settled. Did David revisit it? Well, he could have said, well, God, are you sure about this? Did, you know, and look at the size of that guy and look at what I am and blah, 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 blah. Or do you just take God at his word and go for it? He didn't question, did he? Why do we? Why do we do such things? Do we think we're going to change God's mind on the matter? You know, we get in so many fights and so many battles that we do not need to get involved in. And we wouldn't be involved in if we live by faith. The truth is that we have one great thing to decide. That is, are we going to trust God and we're going to live by what He says we ought, or what He tells us how to live? Are we going to live by force? Forcing our own way through things. How are you going to live? How's that going to... Are you going to live by faith in your personal life? Are you going to scamming and scheming? You going to reasoning and questioning and doubting? Are you pushing for your own agenda all the time? Are you a troublemaker or a peacemaker? We got to decide. It happens in families, don't it? It happens in business. We need to decide whether we're going to live by faith or we're going to live by force. How many here were ever in the military? All right. How many ever had anybody that you knew you were right, but they pull rank on you? Why did they do that? Because they could. It didn't have to make sense, did it? Matter of fact, sometimes it didn't. And it was rather stupid. But because they had the power, they just wanted to exercise it. That's how some of us are. I'm the head of this home, woman. You're going to heal. My rules. Wow. What a treasure you are. Crazy, isn't it? I thought we were supposed to love her as Christ loved the church. Just a thought there. You know, I've met so many independent fundamental Baptists that walk around like they're some silverback ape, thumping their chest, making their wife walk 10 feet behind them, carrying all the burdens. That's not right. We're We're supposed to live by faith. Aren't we supposed to prefer them? They are the weaker vessel, are they not? Well, it's my way or the highway. You keep on with yourself. You're living by force. You're not living by faith. You've made that decision already. Now, the decision to live by faith can only be made by you. It cannot be made by anyone else. So what's your decision? You know, if we live by faith, we can take every need we have to the Lord. You know, some people are crushed under a weight, aren't they? They bear a burden they should never bear. And you know why? They're not living by faith. We are to cast all our care upon Him. Why? For He careth for us. You know, the faith life honors God. Does it not? You know, I remember when I just got saved, okay? I had a lot of bad habits. One of them was smoking. And you know what? It didn't take me, well, I think I even knew before I got saved that it wasn't right for a Christian to smoke. You say, how did you know that? Well, if God wanted me to smoke, He'd have put a chimney on my head. You know, and once I became a Christian, I knew that, you know what, it's not conducive to me to smoke, because why should I smell like hell when I'm going to heaven? Well, anyway, so I decided, you know what, I got to quit this nasty habit. And so when I would get an urge to smoke, I would run. Now, when you start running and you get winded, what's the last thing you want to do? You don't want to put a cigarette in your mouth. You're already gasping for air. And so I quit smoking that way. And I remember in my first church, I'm telling people that, you know, and after the service, we had this old lady there. Her name was Mary. She was Freitag, very nice lady. But she smoked so much, her face was so wrinkled up, it was like a prune, you know, prune face. And she told me, she said, "Preacher," she said, "man, you went through a lot of exercise to get to quit smoking." She says, "You know what I did?" I said, "What? How did you quit?" She said, "I just would memorize scripture every time I wanted to quit smoking." And I'm like, "Thanks. I wish I'd have heard that advice a long time ago, because who got the glory for me quitting smoking? But if I did it God's way and lived by faith, who would have got the glory for it?" I learned a valuable lesson that day. Faith life honors God. It does not bring honor to yourself. Now, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that does not necessarily mean that you're living by faith. It's possible to know the Lord as your Savior and still live by force. Now, consider what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. He wrote this in 1 Corinthians 3:1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to brethren. He's talking to those that are saved. And he's saying, you know what? You're not spiritual. I can't even talk to you in that manner. Why? Because you're not spiritual. You are carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That's how I got to speak to you. Now, think of that. There were some spiritual believers, and then there's carnal believers. Now, one's living by faith, that would be the what? Spiritual believers. The carnal believers are still living in the flesh. They're living by force. And Paul says, you know what, I can't even speak to you about spiritual things, because you know what? You are so worldly minded. You're living by force. It's your way or the highway. You don't want to subject yourself to the authority of the scriptures. You're carnal. You're like a baby who always wants your way. By the way, every one of us was a babe in Christ at one time, but we're not supposed to stay that way. Now, you got to ask yourself, am I living by faith or am I living by force? Am I carnal or am I spiritual? Do I always want my way? Do I force myself to get others to do what I want and what I think because I'm better and I know more than everybody else? Or do you live by faith? You know, so often I think people, they may have an expertise in some area and they may be brilliant in that area. But you know what? They think they're brilliant in every area. And such is not the case. You know, they like to tell the pastor what he should do. They like to tell their wives what they should do. Or their wives like to tell them, their husbands, what to do because they're so smart. Their husbands, they don't even need Siri with her around. But you know what? A lot of that advice is unscriptural. A lot of what they think doesn't line up with Scripture. But they're forcing those views on others. Now, I've come to the point where when someone wants to tell me what to do, I'm just going to ask them, well, have you prayed about that? Is that scriptural? Oh, okay. You got your answer. You got your answer. You want me to do something you haven't prayed about. You want me to do something half the time it's not even scriptural. I'm not going to do it. Why should I? That would violate me living by faith. We all have a tendency at times to force our opinions on others, don't we? Now, when you look at this story, you got Goliath over there, right? Now, he's representing the world by force. Well, what's the army of Israel doing? They've adopted the same way as this Philistine champion, haven't they? I mean, they're looking at this force against force. Well, we don't have a champion can stand up to him. He's bigger than the rest of us. Well, King Saul was bigger than the rest of them. But Saul was living by force too. He didn't have faith in the Lord. Do you see this army ever beseeching God and saying, God, what should we do? No! And this has been going on for quite some time, has it not? Until David comes. And he decides he's going to move forward by faith. Do you realize what most people have allowed the world to do? They have allowed the world to determine how they're going to live their lives. They've allowed the world to set the bounds and make the rules on how they're going to live, how they're going to react, and what they're going to do. We are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. We are to live a life of faith in this world of force. Many of us, we use the same foolish tactics that the world does. Can I remind you? Can I? That's a stupid question. Of course I can. I'm the preacher. Doesn't God's word tell us the weapons of our warfare are not weapons that the enemy uses against us? They're not carnal. They're not fleshly. We are to be using what? Faith. Now, Now, the faith life is rarely found. You see that in his story. Goliath continues his threats, does he not? Now, the search is on in Israel's camp. They're looking for a man, and Saul is willing to give him great treasures and give him his daughter and make his family free from taxes in Israel. If they would just go down and face Goliath. And ain't nobody taking him up on the offer. That whole army of Israel, no one steps forward by faith. But David did. He wasn't even old enough to be in the army. You know, I think it's a shame that most of us don't spend more time with God than we do. You know, we place such greater value on lesser things in our life. If we would be honest, some of us take more time getting ourselves dressed than we do in prayer. We are to redeem the time. Because the days are evil. You say, oh, preacher, you're just sounding the alarm. No, the alarm has been sounded for a long time. We need to start living by faith. The reason the entire army of Israel would not move was because they learned to live by force and not by faith. The reason there is so little advance in God's work is because we have lost sight of the greatness of our God. Sometimes we feel overpowered, overwhelmed. Wonder what can we do? How about still walking the way of faith? The faith life protects. Look again at the conversation. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord. Now, Goliath had all the weapons. He felt protected. And he walked down in the valley, and you know what? He thought, I got a sword, I got his coat of mail, I got a helmet, I even got somebody to carry my shield. Just about every bit of my body is protected. And then all of a sudden you see this little fellow walk down the valley. And all he had was the strength of the Lord. You see, we need to stop looking at the impossibilities and look at the God who can do all things. And you know what? David was in the center of God's will, was he not? Now, here he goes, he doesn't have any armor on. He tried Saul's, it didn't fit. And all he's got is a sling and five stones. And a little shepherd's outfit. What's going to protect him from a sword? Or a spear? But God did. He was in the center of God's will. And God protected him. Now, the Word of God declares to us what David wrote in Psalm 34, verse 1 through 7. It says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. How much? All times. So, is God good to you all the time? Is all the time He good? Then we ought to be blessing Him at all times, should we not? His praise shall continually... What? Be in my mouth. Now, if his praise is continually in our mouth, do we have time to murmur, complain, gripe? I don't think so. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. What? What about what I can do? It's not what it says. We ought to be boasting in the Lord. Amen. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Yeah. you boast about yourself, they're not going to be too glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his, what? Name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You know, it's too bad David didn't have a cell phone back then. He would have probably called one of his friends and they would have helped him out. He would have reacted just like many God's people do today. They ask for human help when he's up there in heaven saying, you know what? I could help you if you just asked. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. Now the angel of the Lord is round about them that fear him. We are to be trust in God. We are to believe in him. We are to lean on him. We are to fear him. Now his angels are encamped round about them that fear him. Do you know that wherever we go, whatever we do in the name of the Lord, whatever we attempt by God's grace and faith, the Lord promises to be with us and he will protect us. Now, if we live by force, God allow us to fail. Now there's a difference between faith life and force life. And we throw ourselves open to every enemy when we try to live by force. But our God protects us, and he encamps around those who live by faith. David had nothing to worry about. The truth is, even though Goliath with all his armor, all his weaponry, he was the one that should have been alarmed. Because when a man of faith meets a man of force, the man of force doesn't stand a chance. David had nothing to worry about. Then the victory of the faith life, well, it lasts. Notice what the Bible says. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Now God gave David victory that day that was long-lasting. It affected an entire nation. Never forget that we are going to reap what we have sown. And we are reaping today what we have sown in the past. Here's the secret. This is what I'm talking about when it comes to reaping and sowing. David did not decide that day when he went to the army and heard Goliath, you know what, I think I'm going to exercise some faith for the very first time. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to whoop that big old big mouth. How many think that's what happened? No. You know, he made the decision to live by faith long before he ever met Goliath, ever heard him speak. You see, it was a vital part of his life. He lived by faith. You say, how do you know that? Well, he does say this to Saul in this chapter. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion. Did he not? And out of the paw of the what? Bear. So he already learned to live by faith, didn't he? Now, I don't know about you, but David with a slingshot, five stones, a shepherd's rod, goes after a lion, goes after a bear. I think that took some faith. A lot of bravado, too, but it took some faith. And he says, you know what? He delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, and he's going to deliver me out of the paw of that giant Goliath, too. He learned to live by faith. Faith is always in the present tense. The faith life will enable us to continue to live by faith. And if you haven't lived by faith until recently, you still have a tendency to live the force life. You need to sow the faith life. And the more faith you sow, the more you'll live in the future by faith. I'm not saying that you're not going to get a victory every now and then by force. But you know what? You're going to have another one, just another fight just like that one. And it's going to happen over and over again until you get it right. You know, one of the things, am I the only one who likes to get in the last word on an argument? I am the only one raising my hand, so I must be the odd one here. John, you like that too? I mean, I like it. I used to probably before I got saved, pride myself in that. I don't really care if I get the last word in or not. Sometimes I just keep my mouth shut because it's the best course of action. But some of us haven't learned that lesson, have we? We continue to go over and over again in the same manner, and it's just not working well for us. David was a giant killer. But more than a giant killer, he was a man of faith in God. The Bible says in verse 46, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I'll give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that I am the giant killer. I am the champion. I am the one who defeated the Philistines." Oh. Who's getting all the glory here? Because it was God who he was relying on. He's not saying everyone will know David, that I'm the heavyweight champion. But he said that the whole earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The faith life honors God. The forced life, it simply honors man. It's not whether we're right or wrong that matters. It is whether God is glorified or not. That should be the main thing. You know, in my house, I'm the head of the home because that's the role God has for me. Okay? But you can ask Connie, I don't boss her around. I don't think that's my role as a husband, even though I'm its head. Huh? Yeah. Huh? You know, if we go out to eat, I always ask her, where do you want to go? And she's got about 3 or 4 places. I'm thinking, come on, shake it up once in a while. But you know what? It doesn't matter to me that much. Listen. What matters is, does she see the Lord in my life? Do my children and grandchildren are over there, do they see the Lord in my life? Don't answer that question. But there's a difference, isn't there? Between a forced life, pushing your way through life, and living a life of faith. And I'll tell you this, living a life of faith is a whole lot easier than forcing your way through life. All right, we'll have some more in just a few minutes.